Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the It's Obvious podcast. My name's Garrett Drake. I'm joined online by my two best friends on the face of the earth, minus Zach Bynum, Jacob Alka and Preston Pugh. Boys, reunited at last. How are you?
Guys, it's been a couple weeks. I've missed you. We haven't really spoken much. At least I haven't spoken to you guys in a while. And I just want to say that I miss you. And I want to see you in the flesh soon, because my heart needs it. It misses you both dearly. But I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm doing good as well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, dude. Whatever, man.
Don't listen to him, Preston. Thank you for having us. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Yes.
So how's everyone's weekend going? The notes together. I think everyone's contributed here except for me.
Well, what do you have to say?
Yeah, what's new?
Yeah, typical. How was everyone's weeks? Is that what you asked, Jacob?
Yeah, I said weekends. You know,
weekends.
So
jam packed full of work.
Yeah, you How working again?
Yeah, it's a cross between work and schoolwork. So I'm not running sound right now, but I'm doing a bunch of video stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured you probably maybe have another month before you start doing that again, at least since Atlanta's will probably be the last place to sort of ease up on, you know, regulations. I would assume.
We will see.
But yeah, I'm glad school's keeping you busy, I guess. How's the whole online thing going still?
It's fine. I think I have 3.5 weeks left. Four. I can't keep losing track of time. It's flown by and it's just been a bunch of busy work. So it'll be over soon. Nothing
very
exciting
good,
to report.
Good. Well, Preston, you working? Are you still off?
No, I'm still off.
Are you going insane yet?
Not yet. I'm getting there though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How often do you leave the house?
To go get groceries. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So I do that about twice a week, I think.
Jesus.
Just to get out. It's like I intentionally buy half of what I need just so I can get out again, get the other half. But,
what's going to get me through this half of the week?
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of, yard work this weekend, so
like what?
It's been nice getting outside, digging up weeds. We have like these big islands in front of the house that we had to get a bunch of weeds out of and chop some. We had during the storm a few weeks ago a tree fell down, so we had to chainsaw that up and get it out of there. And we laid pine straw on half of it today, but we have to let the weed killer do its work and lay the other half of it another day this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, really fun stuff.
I was talking to Evan and Elliot last night, two of my good friends. I don't know if, Garrett, you talk to them much anymore, but we've always been friends, but that's not the point of this. We were talking about, like, what is the point of pine straw besides looking good? Like, that's all it does, right?
Does
pine
as
straw
I
serve
know,
any other purpose?
As far as I know, it's for aesthetics, yes.
Yeah. Because like we were talking about hay, pine straw, and then like bark, and like,
yeah,
are there any benefits to using like one over the other? Of course, like hay just looks dumb. Like you put hay down if you just have dirt. But like, for example, in a yard, and obviously like you don't really put it in flower beds because it just looks like crap. But yeah, that was the sort of conversation we were having last night.
Nice. Sounds riveting.
What's the best, you know, thing for your garden?
Yeah.
But yeah. I've had a good weekend so far. I actually went running for the first time in months, what it felt like. And I went to the local green trail, greenway, whatever it's called. And I ran about 4 miles. And I was pretty sore because I haven't really done a lot of long distance running in a while. And I don't know, it just sort of hurt my knees. And I was like, man, I'm getting old. I'm an old man.
I had a similar revelation this past couple of weeks, Jacob, is that I'm at the age now, I believe, where if I don't get 8 hours of sleep, I am just horrifically exhausted all day long.
Well, Gary, you've been slowly killing yourself every
I know,
year.
For the last 4 years. It's probably finally all caught up with me. That's probably what it is that I've been going like pedal to the metal for the last 4 years, and then the whole world slows down, and it all hits me like a freight train. So, yeah, I haven't run in a while, but I would like to get outside. I don't really like running in Atlanta, though.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Well, you can run on the, what's it called? They have that.
Yeah, Beltline, but yeah, it's like overrun and like all these
people online are like, why are there so many people on the Beltline? You're supposed to be social distancing. And I just don't want to deal with those
people.
Dude,
just go to 285, park on the side of the road, and just go for it.
Hell yeah, bro. Just run back and forth.
Yeah, great idea.
Playing Frogger on 285.
Yeah, there were a lot of people at the Green Line, or the Greenway, the Green Line. It was crowded. Like, it was hard to stay social distance from people because there were just too many people. Like, it was overflowing. Like, I could barely find a parking spot in this place.
Jacob, I would, once I get through all this work I got to do, I'd meet up with you one day and run for fun if you wanted to.
I'd do that. I'd go grab some food.
Yeah, sounds great.
We go run, then we eat more food, and then we cancel out the progress we made.
Yeah. Maybe we'll like trip into the forest and like our clothes will fall off by accident. We're like, oh, whoa, dude. Yeah. But like, it's all good.
I would hate that if that happened.
But yeah, me too. I was just kidding, but you know, it might happen. Yeah. So we got to be prepared for that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I hope that doesn't happen. But if it does, we will be prepared. Yeah. Preston, you should come run with us too. We could have an IOG run.
I was just telling Garrett, like, I remembered when we would run at the apartment, how those were like the darkest days of my life.
I got you guys to run with me. That's an accomplishment.
I hate running. I enjoy so running. Much.
I do too.
I can't stand it.
I mean, I don't hate it. Like, I went Saturday because obviously I just wanted to get out of the house, but two, like, I just wanted to be out in nature. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll go run.
If y'all were close enough to me to where it wouldn't be like a big deal for me to meet up and run with y'all, I would. But like,
yeah,
I don't know if I would drive an hour out of my way
to go do something you hate.
Yeah.
Jacob, do you have Cinco de Mayo plans?
No.
Okay, because Preston and I are going to go to a place. It's on Tuesday.
I'll be working.
Preston and I are going to go get takeout tacos. You should skip work, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Just quit, actually.
Oh. I should do that. You're right.
You owe it to Garrett. Garrett quit American Eagle to like hang out with us, or he got himself fired just so he could come hang out with us. So
let's clarify what's happening.
So you owe him.
Absolutely worth it.
Yeah, that'd be cool if we could all meet up and do that Tuesday.
Let me know what time you're doing it. I'm usually getting done on Tuesdays around like 5, maybe. A little earlier, so maybe
well,
I could.
Dang, brother,
where are you planning on meeting? Like somewhere downtown?
Yeah, probably at my place.
Are you cooking tacos?
No, we're going to get tacos from a place called Supremo Taco, and it looks unreal. I guarantee you, if I send you a picture of their tacos, you'll either quit or take the day off.
What time were we can talk about this later. Yeah. I'm sure nobody really cares about what time we're going to go eat tacos.
Preston, this is our taco talk.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, you're right. But have you guys have you guys been able to get any game time in since the last time we did this thing?
Yeah. I have. Well, Garrett, what have you been playing?
Cool.
I played 2 matches of Valorant and was painfully bored.
What?
to the point where I literally forgot I had the beta.
What?
I played one match and I honestly did just fine. Like I played like a pretty good match, and the second match I played was just so boring that I just stopped playing, and I forgot I had it. And I got back on my PC for the first time in like a week and a half the other night, and I was like, oh yeah. But I don't think it was bad. I just didn't grab me. I don't know. Maybe I need to play with friends.
You do. You need to get on with when there's a group of 5 of us. Okay. It's so
that,
much
that
fun.
Might make it better.
Like just strategizing like who's covering which lanes, and you know, if someone dies, you all converge to where they're pushing. Just you know, you have the banter the whole time. It's a really good time.
And see, it's surprising for me to say that because I love shooters. Mm-hmm. And
well, that's the thing. This is so much different than like any shooter you've played, I imagine.
Not really. I mean, I had dabbled in, granted it was on Xbox back in the day, but CSGO back in the day, and then I played plenty of Overwatch, and that's very much what it felt like when I played it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I just wasn't in the mood for it.
Who did you play as?
I played it as a few different people. Mm-hmm. Can't remember their names.
How'd you feel about like purchasing weapons every round?
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. What was your favorite? Do you remember what you used?
No, I can't remember anything. I just used like all the different styles of machine guns. I used that revolver a few times.
Yeah.
I was pretty good with the revolver.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Okay. So you're but unsure about it right now.
I played that in a way, way, way better game called Predator Hunting Ground.
Okay. Dude, you just...
Yeah, reviewed it for COG, gave it a 6 out of 10. Certainly not awful by any means. I mean, I had maybe two or three really exciting moments, but for the most part, it's just a very mediocre, lackluster PvPvE experience. Mm-hmm. Predator feels pretty cool. The Predcore mechanics is what they call them.
Oh my God.
Are pretty solid, running through the trees and everything. I love the original tropes from the movie that are included, the sound design's in there, the music's in there. The customization from an aesthetic standpoint is pretty awesome. A lot of the practical customization or the arsenal, say your weapons and your perks and your equipment and everything, are kind of hit or miss because many of the weapons are almost obsolete for Predator because it's so easy to just drop in and slash up a fire team and kill someone and just bail and heal up and then jump back in and kill someone else with melee attacks. And I've rarely ever had to use ranged weapons. And I think it's a testament to people still figuring out how to play the game. But a lot of it is just kind of bland. But I think it could evolve into being something really interesting over time. Because I know Elphonic took a lot of care into updating Friday the 13th over time. And I imagine they'll do the same with this, that they have a somewhat decent player base. And speaking of the player base, I don't know if this is because the player base is shallow or if they have just terrible servers, but waiting for a match takes a lifetime. Now, if you join a fire team, it takes maybe a few minutes, but for Predator, I've waited up to 25 minutes before.
What?
Yeah, so.
And this is just like
the deal is
a regular playlist?
Yeah, yeah, so I think it's just because hardly anyone's playing it right now. It's crossplay, though, between Epic on PC and PS4.
Well, that means really no one's playing it.
Yeah, but not the worst game I've ever played, but did not love it. That's all I've played. I haven't been able to play Final Fantasy in like 2 weeks.
Dude, that makes me sad.
It's a shame.
I thought you would have beat it.
No, yeah, me too. I'll probably be able to play it in like three or four days from now. I thought I'd get to it tonight, but I keep underestimating just how much crap I have to do. So eventually for me, it won't be a Persona 5 situation. I told Preston that it won't be like two years go by. I'll eventually play that.
So have you made like any progress? Well, I guess that would be spoilery. So
he's at the end.
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty close.
Okay.
Well, that's exciting, Garrett.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Preston, what about you?
I've been doing my daily Animal Crossing playing.
Nice.
Still.
Garrett, it was you that said that you were bored playing it, right?
Animal Crossing?
Yeah. And you just stopped.
Yeah.
Okay.
I recognize that, like, if I invested the time in progressing, I'd love it, but I don't have the time right now, unfortunately. Maybe over the summer.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. It's definitely something in the beginning you need to put a pretty decent amount of time into to be able to just like, you know, like check it like your email every morning. And like, I can't really like play it for more than an hour and a half at this point, because unless I just come up with like, I'm going to make a project where I'm going to do this here and do that there, which I think is a really fun part about the game. But I've already did like my massive project and I have my island. Pretty much the way I want it for the most part, unless I have like inspiration from somebody else's or anything like that. But I mainly just get on and check my money trees, do kind of like my daily chores, hit all my rocks.
Wait, when you say money trees, does that mean that money actually grows on trees in that game?
Yes. Every single day there is a spot on the ground that it glows gold. You dig it up and it has 1,000 bells in it.
What?
And you can plant 10,000 bales in its place. And I think in 3 to 4 days, a tree with 3 10,000 bale bags grows. And eventually, like once you've done enough, you get to the point where every single day one has fully grown. So, yeah, I do that every day. I dig them up and put them in a central location, so I'm not like running around trying to remember where I planted the money tree. So I have an area where they all grow. So yeah. I'll hit that every morning, and then every island has a money rock that hitting it will drop money as well. I think it's up to like 16,000 bells. It's not like a ton, but it's enough to just like go out of your way for like 5 minutes to get it. So I do that, and then I check my store to see what new furniture they have. If I might think I might use it in the future, I'll just go ahead and buy it. And then I check, there's like a little machine where you can exchange your Nook miles for something. And if you check it every day, you get additional Nook miles. So I go check that out. And then I just talk to all my animal buddies on the island. And yeah, then that's pretty much it. And then I move on with my day. I do that every day.
That sounds like a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's very, very relaxing.
Just living the dream on your island.
Oh yeah,
for sure. What else could you ask for?
And I'll throw on a podcast and listen to it while I'm running around. So
yeah,
just something nice to play in the morning. But yeah, besides I
could see that being a nice way to like just start your day. You know,
yeah,
it's like get a glass of Joe, lay in your bed.
Oh yeah,
play some Animal Crossing.
Absolutely. So yeah, I'm still knocking that out. I'm still knocking out Persona 5 Royal. I said it right that time. I have a really bad habit of calling it Royale.
Royale.
But yeah, I'm to the third palace in that game. Nothing new to really say based on or just from last time I talked about it. Still enjoying it so much. I can't wait to get into the new stuff. So yeah, I'm doing that.
Do you know what chapter the new stuff is?
It's after December. That's all I know.
Okay.
So.
That's like midpoint, I think.
Yeah, I think it's either after or before the original palace, before like, you know, at the beginning of the game, you're doing a flashback the entire time. Yeah. I think it's before that palace, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So I might be getting close to it. I'm not sure. But regardless of that, like I said, there's enough new stuff to where I just got to the new area and really cool. It's it's kind of like the original town square where the Velvet Room would be, the guy that sells the guns would be, kind of like that area. But it's like double that size, and there's more stores. There's a place where you could go play darts and pool. So. Pretty cool. That's cool. And I'm enjoying. I started the Confidant with the new character, which her name is what's her name? Kasumi, maybe? I don't know if I remember it, but she's a pretty cool character. She's a gymnast, and you're like kind of helping her train and stuff. yeah, she's pretty cool. So yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about that. Looking forward to finishing that off.
Yeah, but you're going to beat that twice before Garrett even plays it once.
Three times. I already beat it twice. On the original.
Garrett.
I'm starting.
He'll get to it.
He's making you look like a fool.
I have a reason to like try and get through it, because I'm going to let him borrow my copy when he has time so he doesn't have to buy it. So that's like a good motivation for me to, you know, get through it and not slack on it.
For sure.
But anywho, so yeah, I'm playing that, and I platinumed FF7 Remake, which I absolutely loved. I'm
very impressive, by the way.
Oh, thanks. It's not too bad. It's not definitely. I think on Discord I said it was one of the harder platinums I've gotten, which it is, but I think I intentionally made it a little hard. There definitely were some boss fights that if I experimented a little more with materia would have gone a lot easier than I made them. So that's probably my fault I felt that way. But yeah, love the game. I'm really into just the universe of Final Fantasy VII. I'm playing the original now. I'm past Midgar, and it's just really interesting seeing what they did with this game and where they can potentially go. I'm following a Twitter page, and I cannot remember her name at all, but if you Google it enough to find like translations of this, well, I should probably back up and clarify what I'm even talking about. A book was released in Japan called the Final Fantasy VII Ultimania, which is like an 800 page guidebook that has interviews with the game directors like Nomura and stuff like that. And answers, not everything, obviously, but a decent amount of questions about the game. So this person on Twitter is translating it and reading all of that is extremely interesting, having some things clarified and stuff. But obviously, with it being the first part, they're not going to really talk about things that were set up in this game or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really, really into that. So
it's yeah, actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
Question, has this inspired you to want to go play other Final Fantasies now? Like, are you that much in the loop where you want to explore the whole universe?
No, because they don't relate to each other.
Right.
But, I mean, don't
they all exist in, like, the same, you know?
Yes,
like,
and no.
Like, they don't know of each other, right? But they're, like, all in the same.
It's like chocobos exist in all the
exactly,
games.
Yeah.
It's like enemies exist, but in terms of, like,
like, they must be in the same, like, universal spectrum. I don't know a good word for what I'm describing, but
it's like in the same universe, but you don't have to have prior experience with other ones to understand what's going on. Like 15 is just 15. 14 is just 14. Well, I don't know if 14 is a good example.
It's like the idea
of
just a bunch of like short stories, except they're not short stories. They're big, long stories.
Yeah. Short stories is probably the worst way to describe a Final Fantasy game. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's correct. I'm sure there's probably like, which actually the example I'm thinking of right now is there is a character in Final Fantasy X. His name is Shinra. So people believe he was the original person that started the Shinra Electric Company in Final Fantasy VII. So I don't know if that's just like a nod or if it's like a actual connection between Final Fantasy X and VII. But, anyways, yeah, for the most part, they don't really connect. They're just in the same game universe or whatever. But
maybe
anyways,
like the Goosebumps series would be a good comparison.
sure. I have a lot of Final Fantasy games. Like I have the 10 remaster, 10-2, 12. I have actually quite a few of them, but I have yet to play them. If I were going to play another one, it would probably be 12. That one looks pretty cool. And I actually saw there was a pretty substantial update to the PlayStation version to improve some things that I don't know what it's exactly improving, but I've seen that it's a cool feature that it has now. So, but now, my main focus in terms of playing an RPG is either Final Fantasy 14, just because that's my MMO of choice, and Persona, of course. But besides that, I haven't really played anything else. Yeah. Nothing else really.
Nice. Okay. So you're keeping busy. Finished off Final Fantasy 7. Did you say that you were playing 14 right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you doing there? You just kind of
just going through
up?
The expansions. I'm like, I'm still on Heaven's Ward, and
still on that one.
Yeah, I'm just getting through the story of that.
So are you just playing it for the story? Like, are you looking to like gear a character or something like that?
I mean, once I get to the end, but it's kind of pointless for me to focus on that right now when I'm not
right,
even on
you're leveling
the current expansion. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is it like you go through the story of one, then it like leads you into the questing of another one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That is correct.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool, man. I've been playing a MMO myself recently. And that's, of course, my love, World of Warcraft. The addiction has bit me again, boys. I've been playing that pretty much exclusively all week. I did take some time to play a little bit of Valorant over the last couple days, but other than that, I've just been playing WoW all week. And it's not like I've been really like playing it hardcore, but it's more just I'm popping on every day. I'm focusing on trying to farm mounts, which is just like killing a boss or a rare spawn in the world over and over again once per day. I'll have you once per day. So you can sort of like plan out your day of when you go kill these people and they have a chance of dropping mounts, right? Which is just one of the many collectibles in the game that I've chose to just focus on for the time being. Because I don't know, WoW's sort of just become a collection game for me recently, which is good or bad depending who you ask, but because that's where I just find the enjoyment in it right now. That's what I've been doing. And over the last couple, well, I guess I've been playing it for a week and I've gotten two mounts that are pretty low drop chance, which is pretty cool. One was in a dungeon that I've just been running once a day over and over again. And then, another one was just like a random boss in the world that I just went and killed and he just dropped a mount, which is pretty cool. So just gives me something to do right now while I'm waiting for, you know, some games to come out this summer, like The Last of Us and, what's the other one? Ghost of Tsushima. Thank you. I'm pumped for both of those, obviously. And we'll be talking about The Last of Us here pretty soon. It was a big news week for that game, which it's not even out yet, but it's been leaky. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing. Not too much to report on there. Just collecting and WoW, and it's keeping me busy. Been watching some streams, been listening to podcasts, been watching Ozark. I got two more episodes of that left in season 3, and things are getting super juicy. So I'm about to find out what everyone's freaking out about at the end of season 3, and I'm pumped to figure it out. The show is so good. Like, I'm loving it, but I've been taking my time with it.
I've got to start. I know I say this like every podcast, but I'm so far behind on every show ever.
Mm-hmm. Dude, if I didn't like watch shows when I ate meals, I wouldn't watch shows either. Like, I would just play games all the time.
Yeah.
But it gives me an excuse to just watch shows. And besides Ozark, I've been watching Hunter x Hunter. And I don't know if I talked about this last podcast. I think I might have mentioned it. But this is like my current anime. It's really good, honestly. It follows like the story of this young kid that is trying to become a hunter like his father was, who he's never met. And basically becoming a hunter is like you get a license if you pass the hunter test. And being a hunter is like, it gives you access to unlimited money, like, and just privilege that other people in the world don't have. It's almost like being a superhero, almost, but it's like you can be a hunter and also be a bad person. So it's kind of strange in that sense. But once you become a hunter, the world opens up to you more, I guess. And basically the whole show is just following the story of this kid named Gon. And he becomes a hunter and his ultimate goal is looking for his father. So he spends the whole show looking for him. But as he's going on this journey along the way, becoming more powerful. And I assume it's going to culminate in him finding his father one day. But I highly recommend it. It has some really good characters. And there's like 150 plus shows or episodes. So it'll keep you busy for a while. And I think I've seen about 70 something of them. So
sounds good. Pretty.
I highly recommend cool. If you want to like watch a trailer or check it out. It starts off a little bit slow, but it's good. I think you'd like it, Preston.
Nice.
But yeah, sounds cool. That's what I've been up to, dudes. Been trying to find ways to work out. I've mentioned I went running, but yeah, other than that, doing home workouts, trying to keep eating healthy. I'm getting kind of skinnier now. Like, I used to be a beefy boy. Now I'm losing all my mass and I'm turning into a skinny boy.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. It's kind of concerning, but there's nothing I can do about it.
So. Just eat a lot more.
I could do that.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be a skinny boy.
Yeah.
But I'd be a chubby boy. A chubby
problem
boy.
Solved right there.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's all I got to say. Have you guys been watching anything or do you want to jump into the news?
Been watching My Hero.
Yeah?
Yeah, latest season has been blowing my mind. It's freaking epic.
Mm-hmm. Dude, the new season's so good.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I've been watching that. I did watch season 3 of Ozark, and that was the first show in a while, because I typically watch my shows as I'm falling asleep, but that was the first show in a while where I just sat down to watch it with, like, popcorn and stuff, because I was so excited for it. And it does. I mean, the whole season's incredible. And the ending especially is pretty wild. So I'm excited to talk to you about that.
Yeah. So you finished it?
I did, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, dude, I loved the last episode. It was so good. Got insight to a character we haven't really seen much of, and I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Preston, have you caught up in My Hero? Or is
I'm still on season 3.
Okay, but so you haven't seen a new one?
No, but I'm really, really enjoying season 3. I'm planning on watching an episode or two of that tonight when I eat dinner.
Do it.
So, oh yeah, I'm eventually going to catch up.
I know you will. But if that's all everyone has to say, it is time to jump into the news.
Hey, man, what's the news?
Oh, I'd love to tell you.
Got him.
And our first story is a hot one, boys. It's been all anyone's talking about this whole week. And I'm going to be using the Polygon article. And it is written by Patricia Hernandez. And it is titled, Sony Says It Knows Who Leaked The Last of Us Part 2. So earlier this week, this isn't the article, but I'm just kind of recalling from memory. A leaker came out and spoiled the end of Last of Us 2. And, you know,
actually,
obviously the internet.
That is not true.
Am I wrong already? Okay.
Yes.
Just let Preston take the reins on this one.
No, I don't want to. They leaked a bunch of a few cutscenes, a decent amount of gameplay, but the actual ending has not been leaked yet.
Okay.
Just the opening hour-ish has been leaked, and a few plot points that include cutscenes has been leaked, but the actual ending, like what actually happens, nobody actually knows yet.
Okay. Well, I apologize. Well, how about I just read this article, because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Go for it.
All right. In late April, Naughty Dog suffered an enormous leak that, among other things, seemed to spoil the ending of Last of Us Part 2. Yeah, see, they're saying it here, too. One of the leading rumors at the time is that the source of the leak was a disgruntled Naughty Dog employee, but Sony has officially squashed that unfounded myth now. A Sony representative tells Polygon that it has identified the leakers. I'm moving my article to my other monitor. And although the company can't share additional details at this time, it has determined that the source of the leak had no affiliation with either Naughty Dog or the studio's parent company, Sony Interactive Entertainment. The leak, which appeared on YouTube before spreading to other social media sites, including a level list and footage that appeared to be from an internal build. Between that knowledge of the studio's history with Crunch, many believe that the leak was likely in relation to Naughty Dog, though there was no actual evidence that supported this idea. And that's pretty much it.
Let me, to add on to that, let me read Jason Schreier's last two tweets. So this was about 11 hours ago as of today, which is May 3rd.
I'm glad you brought these up because I was going to plug them in at the end.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so he pretty much says, after talking to two people with direct knowledge of how The Last of Us 2 leaked, as well as some Naughty Dog employees, I have a good idea of what happened. Short version, hackers found a security vulnerability in a patch for an older Naughty Dog game and used it to get access to Naughty Dog servers. Rumors of this being an act of protest by a contractor whose pay was robbed are not true. Naughty Dog actually extended pay and healthcare benefits for contractors due to COVID. And if you have any interest in reading like an in-depth Twitter thread of like the technicalities of everything, there is a dude named his at handle is Pixel Butt, I believe, at Pixel Butt, and he has like 30 tweets of like how exactly this went down, on how they kind of hacked into the server and everything. So pretty interesting read. I didn't understand half of it, but it still was interesting. But that pretty much clarifies that, and I'm glad it was clarified because the talk around all of this has been some of the most like, how do I say this? It's been extremely toxic. And I do not use that word lightly. Like, it's some of the most insane stuff that I've seen online in a long time. People just making up things, people taking 4chan rumors and just thinking that that's like the God's truth and stuff. Especially that big, there was a Reddit post that went viral pretty much saying that there were hundreds of Naughty Dog employees like on furlough and that Naughty Dog wasn't paying them. And just all of this nonsense that obviously isn't true. And there are still people that are trying to save face that are just denying that what Jason is saying is true just because they made themselves, in my opinion, look like idiots, just, you know, taking some random Twitter or Reddit post and just believing every word of it. So they just like have to die thinking, like, die on that hill just so they don't look like an idiot. And Jason Schreier, of all people, like, he's, you know, hate him or love him, like, he was the one who initially reported all of this crunch from Naughty Dog. So, like, if there was anybody that wouldn't just be, you know, kissing Naughty Dog's butt, it would be this guy. Mm-hmm. So I choose to believe this.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So
if Jason's saying that it's not true, like that they in fact don't work at Naughty Dog, then I'm going to believe him.
Yeah. And besides that, which I think that's a whole nother topic that is equally as interesting as the leaks themselves, but I know all the leaks. I knew I was going to have them spoiled for me regardless, because I'm just on the internet so much. I follow too many message boards. I watch too many YouTube videos. I like enjoy reading comments and things. So I already knew I was going to have them spoiled. And the second I saw a picture on Twitter and was spoiled from a pretty big plot point in the game, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to read what's out there just so it's I'm choosing to be spoiled. I'm not having some loser spoil it for me. So I know everything that's officially out there, and there are so many rumors and plot points that are just false, and people are using these false plot points as a way to bash the game. And it's really disappointed me, and a lot of content creators on YouTube that I follow are taking these false plot points and making all these videos about it and just completely bashing the game, saying that it's like they're classifying it under the whole like go woke get broke thing, when in reality the plot points they are so pissed out about are either not true or they're taken completely out of context. And I think that's the thing that people are that blows my mind about all of this, is that this is a video game. Like, we are going to play this game, go along a journey, and eventually see the context of these plot points that have leaked out there.
Yeah.
Like, if I were to tell you the plot points of the original Last of Us, you would be extremely underwhelmed. It is the character growth that we see. It is the gameplay that we play. It's the journey that gives context to these plot points.
Right.
And I think, in my opinion, because I've seen the argument that it doesn't matter, I've read the context of these plot points. I guess you have, but I'm going to choose to hold my opinion on it until I actually play the game, I see the full context, and then I will make I will give my opinion on if these particular plot points that I know are good or not. And of course, I would not spoil anything for anyone, but me personally, I find what I have read extremely interesting, and I am actually more excited to play this game than I was when I didn't know the spoilers. Yeah. Granted, that is just like the biggest minority opinion right now, because I haven't seen hardly anybody with that take whatsoever online.
It's
just
been that take at all.
Pure negativity.
Right. Well, that's what's going to get clicks, right? That's
oh, for sure.
Want, whether they
Absolutely.
Believe it or not.
Absolutely.
But, no, I'm kind of with you. I'm not really going to disagree with that. I didn't really look too much into this because you know, I want to stay as far away from leaks as I possibly can. And that's just me. I assume Garrett's the same way. But yeah, like I know that I run no risk myself in terms of like my social media, because I don't follow whatever rabbit holes that you find yourself in all the time. Because I just never find myself anywhere near leaks, thankfully. Then again, I'm not like checking. I'm not going to these threads and checking the comment section, and you know, because I know like that's danger.
Yeah,
like where I'm going
for sure. So. I think for the most part, because granted, I was spoiled on a tweet that had nothing to do with The Last of Us, so I kind of was just like, "Oh, that sucks." But for the most part, it's pretty easy-ish to stay away from these leaks if you just are a little cautious about what you're clicking on and just don't read the comments of YouTube videos. And like the Assassin's Creed Valhalla live stream where the guy was doing the Photoshop art, the entire comment section, like the live chat or whatever, was just full of Last of Us leaks. So stay away from stuff like that. But if anybody that's listening to this respects my opinion or anything, if you are skeptical about the leaks, any blurbs that you have seen or anything, based on a person that has read everything and actually knows what leaks are true and not true, my opinion on this is that if you enjoyed the first Last of Us game and you enjoy Naughty Dog games, I would still recommend you play this game and form your own opinion. And just don't let, even as crazy as some leaks may seem, we don't have any context behind it. And when has Naughty Dog left us disappointed? And I'm talking about people that enjoy the, of course, if you hate the Uncharted games or didn't like the original Last of Us, you can say, oh, well, I didn't like those games. But if you enjoy the Naughty Dog type of game, I recommend getting this game and giving it a chance. So that's really all I have to say about it. It's just been really, I don't know, it's just I'm used to the internet just sucking for the most part, but just the overwhelming negativity towards Naughty Dog and this game has just been really, I don't know, interesting to see, because I've really never seen like any, even Call of Duty, which has like a hate bandwagon, I've never seen it even close to like what this game has.
Dude, people love to attack. Well, like, you know, people like to bring down people that are successful. Not that like Naughty Dog is, it's okay for Naughty Dog to be doing crunch. Like, whatever your opinion is on that, like, that doesn't matter. Like, just like people just love to, for example, not that this wasn't warranted, but Blizzard, like people, Activision Blizzard, people tear apart that company. But at the same time, people also love the company. It just depends, like, what are your motives? And what are
in
you
relation
hoping to accomplish?
That, exactly what you're saying. I saw that Activision donated a massive amount of money to veteran, and people in the comments were like, this is really cool, but still F you, Activision.
I don't know. Like, I just don't get that. I don't get it.
I don't know. I mean, it's
like,
just,
I get people like standing up for what they believe in, but at the same time, there's also these people that just, they just throw so much toxicity and so much hate just because they want to.
I just think it's people that play games online. I don't know. It's just, they are,
it's just inherently
just really negative. Everything's negative. Every time like the Assassin's Creed thing, like, I think it's just the people that are like that typically write things, and the normal people, which is what I would consider us, if we see a trailer and we think, wow, that looks cool, we don't say anything. Or even if it looks bad, we're just like, ah, that kind of looks bad, and we go on with our life. Whereas these people write like novels about how Activision killed their family and stuff.
Dude, the only thing that I do, if I like a video, I just put a like. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to leave my appreciation by clicking this like button.
And I'm sure we'll talk about this eventually, because it seems like every day something is coming out about The Last of Us. So I'm sure we'll talk about this again before it releases in June. But I'm very interested to see the critical reception to this game and when this game sells well, because I think it will sell well, what like these people's take on it is going to be, because mm-hmm. I've seen just like people saying that this game is going to absolutely flop. Nobody's going to buy it, blah, 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 which I don't believe at all. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting kind of seeing how the internet as a whole reacts to this game once it's actually out. So. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Preston. You certainly carried that story and made it much more entertaining than I was going to make it.
Yeah, no problem.
You got all the insight there, so thank you. All right, so we have one more story. Only two stories this week, but this is also another pretty good one, I think. And it is basically, so I think it was it Thursday that this happened? But it was the Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I guess it's a cinematic trailer. It wasn't really a gameplay trailer, but it announced what the game is, which it is what everyone expected it to be, a Viking Assassin's Creed game. And I'm going to go to the article that I linked in the notes. Why? Oh, I already have it open. Okay. So basically, these are just a few things that we learned from, I guess, what they told us and also in the trailer. But so there's no release date yet, but it's holiday 2020. It's, let's see here. Sorry, I'm kind of going through a paragraph here and picking out points. You're going to be in a Viking clan. You're going to be a leader of a Viking clan. Players will clash with the Saxons and the Norse warriors attempting to settle in England. So it takes place in England, and it's in 9th century England. And you're playing as a protagonist named Eivor? E-I-V-O-R is how you spell it. But he's a warrior and a Viking clan leader. While not shown in the trailer, players will be able to choose which version of Eivor they want to play, male or female, which is cool, I guess. And they said both are canon in the story, which is cool, I guess. You can get a look at female Eivor in the figure shown below. I want to look at this, actually. Okay, that looks pretty cool. but yeah, it's just a few things that we know. There might be more, but that's what this article's telling me. Yeah, I watched the trailer earlier today. Looks pretty cool. Obviously, we don't really know what features they're going to be bringing yet, or, you know, what is it going to be like an even bigger Assassin's Creed? Like, is that the path they're going to take? Are they going to refine the story more? I really don't know at this point. Maybe they've said something, but I didn't find it. Preston, do you have anything to add to this in terms of what they've told us so far?
I believe the official site has a few notes that talk more in depth about some of the things that you would be doing. Yeah, I'll read some
Whoa, Preston, your mic's breaking up.
There is dismemberment now and decapitation, which is always cool. Assassins will be able to dual wield anything, even shields. Like you can literally dual wield anything in the game. The assassin's blade returns. The hidden blade returns. It was absent in Odyssey. There's going to be ship combat. Large scale land battles will be Large scale land battles will be a part of the story. It's going to be RPG-like, but I don't see it here, but I do remember reading somewhere else that there are...
Jacob, is he breaking up for you?
Taken away, which yes. I am okay. Thankful hey, for. Hey, what's up?
You keep breaking up.
Hmm.
I think your mic keeps cutting out.
It keeps cutting out.
It's happened twice now.
Gotcha.
Like drop the call and then hop back in, like close Discord.
Okay.
I wonder if it's his mic or if it's Discord.
I don't know.
It might all be right. Your mic. I don't know.
Sorry about that. Anyways, I don't know what you had heard me say, but...
We heard most of the things you talked about.
Okay. Yeah, the leveling system's gone, which I am thankful for because I really hated... that you would just go to some parts of the world and had to smack somebody like 50,000 times with a sword to kill them. Especially if you were trying to play stealthy, There's just no way to one-shot people from behind. Like, you can stab them in the neck with your spear, but they just turn around and, you know, smack you. Was kind of stupid, but...
Garrett, did he cut out for you again?
In this game, I kind of hope this ends the whole RPG line of Assassin's Creed games. I would like for them to try and go back to what it used to be and try that type of game again. Because it's not really feeling like Assassin's Creed at this point, for the most part.
Yeah.
Just feels like a cool historical-ish
action
based
RPG.
Action RPG, yeah.
Which so you is cool, want them, though, to an extent. Like, we got a cool, like, Greek Spartan open-world RPG, get a cool Viking open-world RPG, but I'm kind of in the same boat you are, Preston, in terms of style of gameplay going forward. But I am excited to play this. I think it looks awesome, and for what we've heard, it sounds great, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I enjoyed the trailer a lot. It was cool.
For sure.
And if there's, like, big battles like that, that would be cool.
Oh, yeah. We will apparently be seeing gameplay of this on Thursday. Mm-hmm. During the Microsoft third-party Series X event that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that's when they're dropping the first bit of gameplay.
Do you know what time that is?
I do not. I just know the date. Looking forward to it, though. I have high hopes that we will see some really cool stuff alongside Assassin's Creed there. I know no like first-party stuff like Halo or whatever, but... yeah, nonetheless, excited to see what's going to be at that showcase.
Yeah. What is it called? The...
I wonder if they'll announce the new Call of Duty there.
Yeah,
not at an Xbox event.
I thought about that the other day, how we're getting around that time.
Yep.
Yeah, it would be weird if, like... Or I guess it wouldn't be weird, but, like, what if... Activision went back to Xbox and partnered with them for the new consoles.
It doesn't look that way because Sony just had the Modern Warfare 2 campaign deal. So it seems like they
it's,
just recently...
It's still at the end, though. Maybe like this is where it ends.
That'd be I don't know. That probably has nothing to do with anything, but yeah. I still think Call of Duty is going to be with PlayStation for a little bit.
I do too. Yeah.
Is it only Treyarch and Infinity Ward now, or is like because I know Sledgehammer's not doing it anymore.
I think so.
Just Treyarch and Infinity Ward.
Yeah,
as far as we know.
So.
Yeah, and they still have some support studios like
Black
High
Ops
Moon.
5. Man, that'd
I think
be so interesting if it was
from
Black
the rumor.
Ops 5.
The rumors that I've read are it's a more Cold War focused game, and it might be like a reboot of the Black Ops franchise.
Yeah, they've said that it's going to be a Black Ops game.
Dude, people love Black Ops. Like,
I don't know. I think 4 was kind of not that great. Like, it wasn't received as well.
Maybe, but from Call of Duty, like, Twitter people I follow and stuff that stream, they talk about Black Ops all the time.
You mean the series or 4?
Just the series.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I loved Black Ops 2. That was my favorite Call of Duty. I loved it. The gunplay just felt so good in that game. I remember just playing it at our apartment. I miss it so much.
Yeah. Black Ops 2 was great. Along with... I found the rumor right here. It was a few days ago. Call of Duty 2020 connected to the Black Ops... But I did want to add one more news story, and I forgot to text it to you, but I did want to...
Before you do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Your mic did it again. What kind of mic are you using?
I'm using my headset mic that I always use, but it's probably...
Does it plug in and plug out?
Yes, but I don't want to do that because of my recording software. I don't want to mess it up. I'm recording everything as Discord because my internet connection on Discord I see keeps going from yellow to green. So, okay. It's Discord.
Okay.
Like, it's on
Hopefully
red right now.
Hopefully your recording sounds well.
No, my recording's fine. I'm looking at my Discord right now. It's in red. So I know that for some reason, my internet's messing up with Discord. But
okay.
Anyways. Cool.
Last story.
So Jeff Keighley announced that he was starting this thing called the Summer Game Fest. And it's pretty much a festival that he wants to start. At first I said I thought it was going to be like an E3 replacement, but this article that I'm reading right here says he wants for it to serve as a hub for all things gaming rather than just like a direct E3 replacement. And what I think he means by that is he doesn't want it to be like a massive event that takes place over a week. This thing is pretty much just a way for game developers to like slowly announce things throughout the summer for 4 months, I believe, is what it originally said. But
get some press coverage.
Yeah. Which I think is really, really cool. Obviously, developers are on board for it because his first phase of this has pretty much all the big dogs, Bethesda, Sony, CD Projekt Red, all those guys, including
WE. Blizzard on there.
What's that?
Saw Blizzard on there.
Yeah.
What they're doing.
So pretty much all the big boys. So that's cool to see that they're on board with this as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't have too much to say about it besides.
Yeah, there's not much to say about it. He just kind of announced it.
Yeah. Just.
But it does look cool.
Sounds cool. I'm really looking forward to see whatever WB's got, man.
Dude, I know. It's got to be. What do we think it is?
I mean, it's Batman and Harry Potter. That's what it is.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's what I want.
So
both of those.
Bring the big guns this year. Finally.
Yeah, baby.
For sure. But
all right. Well, yeah. That's our news, Boaz. Next is our questions, I guess, right? That's what we do next.
That's what it looks like.
We've only done like 200 episodes of this. I don't know what happens.
Yeah, you think we would have figured it out by now.
Oh.
You guys ready to jump into that?
I am. So I have about six questions here, which pretty much all came in today, which was nice. Sort of sent out a tell to give me some questions, and the people delivered. We're going to start with a couple here on Facebook first. Hope you guys are ready. The first one comes from Ronnie Garcia, and he asks, in what game food/drink have you always wanted to try? For example, sea salt ice cream from Kingdom Hearts or the cake from Portal? Any in-game food that looks incredibly tasting to you guys?
Well, I have a bone to pick with the foods that he chose because both of those things exist.
Oh.
Like, sea salt ice cream is a thing, and the cake from Portal just looks like a generic vanilla cake.
So, yeah, well, maybe it looked really good in the game, you know?
I'll give him that. I would love to have a Nuka-Cola just to see what that tastes like.
That's a good one. You've had a Nuka-Cola, though. You've drank one.
I have not. I have one, but I haven't drank it yet.
Wait, you didn't have one to drink?
No, they're too expensive, dude.
Oh, my God.
when me and Garrett got those at Target, like we snagged the last two. Those things were going for a ton of money on eBay.
Those are going to turn black one day.
Nah, it's all artificial and crap.
We'll see.
And gotta try a sweet roll from Skyrim. Those things have always looked delicious.
Huh. Okay. Dude, sweet rolls exist?
Yeah, if you like,
pick with you, pal.
If you like, make them, but like ice cream and cake is so generic.
For real. What a joke. Dude, I don't have any good examples of this. For some reason, I keep thinking of what's it called? The Harry Potter beer.
Butterbeer.
Butterbeer?
Yeah, butterbeer. For some reason, I'm thinking about butterbeer, but it's not really from a game. I'm just thinking about it.
And like, you've
had it. I want to make it work. But Butterbeer is very good. I miss it. Oh. I want to go back to your Universal, dude. I didn't get to ride Hulk.
That's a problem.
Is it still Hulk, or did they rebrand it?
No, it's still Hulk. They're just updating it.
Dude, I want to go to Disney whenever the world opens back up. Didn't they? I saw some article that said that Disney was thinking about staying closed till like the next year.
Yeah, they also released plans they have to potentially reopen in all these different phases, but it sounds just completely asinine. I understand they need revenue, but I'm like, that even sound like it's worth it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I can't think of any in-game foods that have ever really stuck out.
I would love to try the Big Bang Burger from Persona. That burger that's like the size of like eight people.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool to try.
I got nothing, man.
Yeah, I got nothing, dude.
Nada.
I don't want to just sit here and go, But let's move on. Thank you, Ronnie, for your question. This one also comes from Facebook and is from Alexander Walker. And he asks, hey guys, after the Last of Us 2 leak, do you think the game development will change? Better conditions for staff, or will it carry on the same? Good to have you back. Sorry, I should have asked this one a little earlier, but what do you guys think? Well, the development's pretty much done, right?
They're probably.
I think he means just game development in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
This may have been based off an assumption or something you may have read that like it was potentially a Naughty Dog employee that had leaked this, which turned out to not be the case. But nonetheless, I know we've heard, you know, like rumors and controversy surrounding Crunch and Naughty Dog. But and this isn't entirely fair of me to say, but just from like the few Naughty Dog employees I follow and those that Neil Druckmann's tweets he likes by them and stuff he retweets by them, they seem to be like very positive and excited about Last of Us even before the leaks and like very proud of the work they were doing. And I remember when Schreier in particular released an article about Crunch at Naughty Dog in particular, and many Naughty Dog employees came to the studio's defense and said like, this is ridiculous. We all love working here. And yes, it's hard work, but we're all very passionate and proud about what we do. So you got to wonder, like, I don't know if anyone knows the full truth of the work environment of Naughty Dog, but it doesn't seem to a point where it's been like overly detrimental to where it's become this big bombastic news story.
People came forward to Schreier to complain about some working conditions, and a lot of people point to a 70%. They use the 70% number in terms of people leaving after Uncharted 4, which I looked into that, and it was like 14 out of 20 people that were working on Uncharted 4 left, but I don't know if they were contractors just hired on, because if that's the case, contractors get let go from studios literally like 99.9% of the time once a game is finished. So I don't know like the exact details behind that, but it seems like to me that these crunch conditions are getting a little better, because you know, Rockstar seems, from what I've read, their new policies and stuff seem to be getting better. But I just want to make a comment just on personal experience, and what I think is going to happen is that you can't get completely rid of crunch. That's just not going to happen. Any job that has a deadline of some sort, to where you're not just going somewhere and going through the motions, where there's not like a massive time limit or a deadline you have to reach, any job that involves that is going to involve crunch. I crunch all the time in my work. Garrett, I know you crunch and the stuff that you do. Like it's just something that you kind of have to accept in the realm of this job. Can it be really bad? Like, can there be different, like, varying degrees of crunch? Yes. And it would be good for studios or development studios to address those, because at some point, if you overwork your workers so much, it's going to affect their work. They're not going to be happy. So there's like a fine line that you have to walk between like murdering your employees and then having some like overtime hours to where, you know, you have to put in some extra work to meet said deadlines and stuff. So I think anytime people hear the word crunch, it just has like such a negative, like, you know what I'm trying to say. It's just like anytime anybody uses it, they're trying to, it's supposed to be like the big bad word to use that, like, oh, crap. You know what I'm trying to say. I know I'm completely butchering it, but I think that word's been used a little too much, in my opinion, like in negative ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of just my opinions on it. I just think that the people making the games need to, you know, have a good work-life balanced relationship. So at the end of the day, I think that's what matters. And also, I might, this might be a controversial opinion, but if you don't like the amount of like hours that you're working or something, go work somewhere else. Like, you're not a slave tied to one particular company. If you're a good enough developer, somebody else is going to hire you. So,
yeah. Not to say it's like easy to move jobs, you know, like it's obviously an annoying thing to do, but.
Yeah. And I know that you might have to stay with a particular job just to provide and stuff like that. Like, I understand, but I still stand by that statement for the most part.
Yeah. Thank you, Preston. Anything else to add, Garrett?
I don't even remember what the question was after that.
Just about, will things change in the future in terms of crunch?
Better conditions for staff.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I have anything to add.
I mean, I expect things to be better just across the board because of articles like these that have come out, you know?
Like, yeah.
You know, developers are going to want to provide the best experience they possibly can for their developers, but crunch isn't going to go away. It's just the nature of the beast, right? Depending where you work, it's worse or better. So, I don't know. We only know so much. I mean, we don't have jobs in the space. But that's all I really have to add. Next question is from Twitter, actually, and from a nice young man named Griff. And he asks us, hey, do you guys feel, or sorry, I butchered that. How do you guys feel about the Mortal Kombat series? And if you've played them, what are some of your favorite fatalities? I have not played them, really. So
I'm
exempting myself from this question.
I'm a very casual fan of the Mortal Kombat series. Since they rebooted it with 9 a few years ago, I was really into that one and played it a ton. Mm-hmm. Then when 10 came out, I played through the single player campaign of that, played it a decent amount when I was done, but 11, I got a little bit not even halfway, I think, through the single player campaign and stopped playing it. I liked it, but I think other stuff was going on. I really didn't have a ton of time when that released to dedicate a lot of time to it. But anyways, I'm very, I'm a casual fan, for the series and for like fighting games in general. It's just not my favorite genre. Probably my favorite fatality ever was a noob Cybot in the NK9, where he just completely rips. He makes a clone of himself, and they each person or whatever takes the leg of the person you're doing the fatality on, and you just rip the person in half. That one always gave me a chill every time I saw it.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm Garrett, also a casual Mortal Kombat fan. I was actually talking to someone about Mortal Kombat a couple of days ago. I can't really remember any specific fatalities that I like, but I did play, out of the last few, I played the most of 9. I dabbled in 10, and I have not played 11, as cool as it looks.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, yeah, 10 has a really cool one where Cassie Cage will shoot somebody in the head, and then she'll put her gum on it. And a bubble blows up with the blood. That one's pretty cool.
That's cool. All right, if you gentlemen will, the next one is in a meme format on Discord in our Ask IOG section, if you want to look at it for context. But I can also just read it to you. Fribes on Discord asks us, would you rather look like Jar Jar Binks or talk like Jar Jar Binks? You are not allowed to kill yourself. So which evil are you picking is the question.
Man, I guess
I know a girl who straight up swears in her life she had a huge crush on Jar Jar Binks.
What the heck, dude?
Yeah, that was the alien she was attracted to.
Stay far away from her.
I would talk like him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to give us an example or no? No pressure.
Not really. I would just...
Let's see if you're up for it.
I think Big Colt, his comment to it is the perfect thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Excuse me, Misa want your phone number, okay? Okie day.
So, I think I'm inclined to agree with you. I would not want to look like whatever George Lucas threw up on this on a piece of parchment. I don't want to look like that.
It's like, imagine every you'd have to have the same conversation every time you approached a girl, just like, oh, all right, listen, so it's not what it looks like.
What do you mean it's not what it looks like?
So yeah,
just to be different, I'd look like him. I'd let you guys talk like him.
Okay. I mean, why would you want to pick just one of these things? If you're going to have to do one of them,
go
you
all
might as well
in.
Exactly, yeah. Just accept it.
Just go work at a Disney World as a full-time Jar Jar Binks cosplayer.
You would be the best Jar Jar Binks at Disney World.
I mean, you technically would, because you would be him.
You would be him, yeah.
So,
what if they'd give you a raise for that? Instead of 13 an hour, they'd give you like 14 an hour.
They might just give you bare minimum, because they just would assume that that would be the only job you would ever be able to have. So they'd kind of just, you know,
point.
Like,
they could take advantage of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I know you can't get any other job because no one wants to hire you looking like that.
Exactly. So I don't think this is a good idea at all. Either decision. So
I don't know. Who's to say Jar Jar Binks couldn't be like a runway model or something, like an Instagram influencer?
You know, I could see that.
So, dude, I would go
overlook the poor bastard.
I would actually go compete in the Olympics with just his
jumping and swimming abilities.
Yeah. Let's go make a crap ton of money
point.
That way. Yeah. Just make
a...
So
if you look like him, he's actually a Sith Lord.
Make lemons out of lemonade.
This is actually a really good point. So if you look like him, does that mean you move like him and you have his attributes as well?
Of course. I don't know. It doesn't say that. It just says, would you rather look like Jar Jar Binks or talk like him?
Can you imagine how fast
you
could swim?
It doesn't say, would you want to become him?
And you could live underwater. If you want to be away from people, you could just go away. Interesting.
Hmm.
I think I'm changing my choice. I want to look like Jar Jar Binks. Anyway, let's move on from this insanity.
Next question.
I just accidentally opened up Spotify. No. Okay. Next question is from Carlos Perez Skates, and he asks us, what's your favorite and worst smell? Example, I used to sleep in the kitchen when I was younger, and my dad came home late from work one night and cooked some beans, but I guess he forgot to turn the stove off. And I woke up to the smell of burnt beans for the entire night, and I could not sleep because of the smell was just so terrible, and I couldn't get it out of my nose. Also, what kind of limited edition console would you like to see next gen? Example, PS4 Spider-Man theme or Gears 5 Xbox? I would personally want a badass Batman themed PS5 for the next Arkham game. So first question, what are your favorite and worst favorite smells? I can go first, I guess. I love the smell of freshly mowed grass, and I like the smell of like minty things and gasoline. Those are like my three things. And then like my worst smells, I don't know. I guess I don't like chicken trucks, but who likes those? You know?
Yeah.
What's like something more normal that I don't like the smell of? I don't like the smell of like a lot of flowers, actually. Like I think I have like sensitive allergies, but anytime I smell a flower, it just like, it's not appealing to me. I don't know. I'll try and think of a better one, but one of you guys go.
My favorite smell is one of my favorite smells is
Oh, I love Sharpies too.
I love the smell of Krispy Kreme.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, that place smells
amazing. Just a fresh box of a dozen glazed.
Oh, yeah. That's the only one that really stands out to me is because I actually look forward to walking in that place. But hands down, my least favorite smell on earth is apple cider vinegar.
I absolutely cannot.
My ex-wife used to get like ingrown toenails and she would soak her feet in apple cider vinegar and just the smell of her feet in that crap is just gives me goosebumps. It's
thank you for bringing up feet. I hate the smell of feet.
I don't know if it was it wasn't her feet, it was just she had so much like in our she would do it in our bathroom, so it's like I would open the door in this small room with just a freaking bucket of apple cider vinegar. It was awful. Smelled so
disgusting.
Yeah, so that's hands down my least favorite smell ever.
What did you say you liked?
Krispy Kreme.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I like the smell of freshly brewed coffee, Krispy Kreme donuts, Main Street USA, and Disney World.
That's a good one.
I like
theme park smell.
I like the smell of like, I don't know, like the beach sort of. I don't like love being at the beach all that often, but like the smell of like sunscreen and the ocean is.
Yeah, like salt in the air.
Yeah, it's a good smell.
I'm with you on that.
New car smell is really good too. I know that's really generic, but I do like that smell.
Yeah. When I bought my new car last fall, I loved that smell for like a solid month and a half when I had it.
Oh, yeah.
I also like Christmas tree, like evergreen trees. I love that one.
Oh, puppy breath too. Brand new puppy licking your hands. That smells good.
Yes. Any more, Garrett?
Anything
you don't like?
I don't think I can think of any right now.
This is a great gaming podcast.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
The next one's a little more gaming related.
So special edition consoles, Gears 5 already exist. So I don't know what the heck this guy's talking about.
I think he's giving examples.
Yeah, everyone's that already exist.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. I take that back.
He said Spider-Man PS4.
I would love to see it. Well, I just want to see what the PS5 looks like in general.
Yeah, that'd be a great start.
Based on the controller, I'm really excited to see the color scheme and just how futuristic that thing's going to look. Yeah. But I would love another Spider-Man themed PlayStation.
Oh, come on, you already got one.
Yeah, but it looks so cool. I'd be down with another one or a Horizon one. That'd be dope, dude. Kind of like how the Cyberpunk Xbox One X is kind of futuristic and rusty. I think you could also do the same thing with a Horizon PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty sick. Then a Fable themed Xbox Series X. It looked like a treasure chest or something.
Yeah.
Dude, what if Fable was a launch title for Series X?
That would be pretty dope.
It's kind of been like very quiet for a long time about Fable. Like, what if it's been in development longer than we think it has been?
What if we learn about it this weekend?
Or not.
Or this Thursday.
That's a first party game.
Granted, I play that on PC, but still. That could be cool.
That would be cool. There's got to be a Halo edition Series X, and I think that has potential to look really cool.
I don't know if there will be, because if it's coming out with the console, it might just be
clarify, not specifically for Infinite or whatever it's called, but eventually there has to be a Halo Xbox Series X.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay.
And based on the design of it, I need to send y'all a picture of this, but there is a YouTuber I follow named Jay's Two Cents. He is a...
Yeah, I follow him.
Yeah, he did a Destiny PC build in a Corsair One case, which looks... was it Halo? Was it Destiny? Or Star... No, Star Wars, my bad. He did a Star Wars case mod build in the Corsair One PC case, which looks very similar to the Series X. And it looks exactly like I would envision a Halo-themed Series X to look like. Just kind of like army green looking and like kind of I don't know the like technical term for it, but weathered. Yeah, like a weathered green one with like a the Spartan symbol or whatever, like spray painted on it. I think that'd look pretty sick.
I agree. Give me a Harry Potter PS5. Then we're talking. Then maybe sure. I consider getting an extra console, you know. But honestly, I'm probably just going to get a base model. I don't really want all that tacky nonsense.
Yeah, you guys know how I feel about limited edition consoles.
Yeah, yeah, we know, we know.
You can only play that game on them.
That's right.
Hey, have I shown you my next gen Spider-Man machine? Hey, dude, have you seen my Batman console that only plays Batman games?
Wow, it's really interesting that I've played so many games on mine, Garrett. Yeah. It's so crazy.
It would just distract me. Like, that's my Batman machine over there.
I only play gold editions of games on my gold PS4.
Yep.
That's all it lets me.
Like, colors I can deal with, but when it's like a particular theme game, I don't know why, I just can't do it. As badass as the Spider-Man PS4 looks, just can't do it.
I understand.
Yeah. Well, sign me up.
Anyways, next question comes to us from Bohongles. 954. The numbers are very important. I'm sorry, Bongles. And his question goes, I know it's a little old news, but now that Mick Gordon has doubts he will continue working with the Doom team to provide them with his musical genius, Doom may be dead to me. Wow, it's a little harsh. What other franchise do you think would lose a lot of its influence on you without its legendary OST? And Jacob, now that the anime ambassador has you in his clutches, what are your spoiler-free thoughts about My Hero and its most recent season? Favorite moments? Love you guys, and I need you guys to seductively whisper, I heard around the office, you got a fat cock. I too have a fat cock. Let's rub our fat cocks together. Thanks all. Love you. Okay, Kyle. I don't know if I'm going to do that personally, but, you know, I encourage Garrett to do it. But before that, Garrett, I want to hear your thoughts on Mick Gordon and sort of the little drama that he's, I guess, spoken about or that's come to pass of him working with Bethesda on the newest Doom.
Yeah, so I've heard the versions of tunes he has mixed versus the others, and It's very clear that his mixes are like night and day different and better than the other mixes, but the other mixes aren't inherently bad by any means. But Mick Gordon's mixes do punch harder, and they do hit harder than the other ones. There's much more clarity as well, which is nice. It is a shame that at least the pre-release version of the soundtrack has the mixed match versions, where it's like Mick Gordon's mixes and whoever else mixed them. But I'm wondering if when it releases officially on Spotify and Apple Music for everyone else, that it will be all of his mixes, if he's had more time to finish up the album, because he responded to someone's email or tweet or something and said that he'd get his quote was, I'll get the proper versions up eventually, is what he said. So I don't know if he just plans to upload them to YouTube or like his own server, if he's going to go rogue, I don't know. But
yeah,
it's still like you can still listen to the OST and still pretty solid, but his stuff is definitely better. And it'd be a shame if he didn't come back for I assume they'll do at least one more Doom game after this. I'm kind of like have two opinions on this. One, it would be cool to see him wrap up a trilogy and have a third kick-ass album. But on the second hand, I'm not entirely devastated by the idea of someone else filling that place, just out of curiosity, like what someone else would do with a Doom game. Mm-hmm. As much as I love his music, it would be interesting to see when someone else take a stab at it.
Speaking of something that's a little like off topic, but not really, like I loved that one track where they brought in all those different metal vocalists, and they had like that, I don't know how to describe it, it was more like a church choir-y
metal,
like,
it's just a metal choir.
Yeah, and like I remember that soundtrack in particular, and then I saw the video before the game came out. And I thought back to that video and I was like, that's pretty cool.
What's cool about his mixes is that he's implemented the metal choir into several of the tracks, Which is pretty cool. So he was not kidding. Like when the game versions pale in comparison to the actual final mixes, where he actually cuts the song together properly. So
yeah,
that's a bummer, but is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Indeed. So does anyone want to talk about My Hero for a second? I mean, I don't have a whole lot to say about it. I mean, I really liked the newest season.
I really don't want anything spoiled for me personally, but
there's a ton of good stuff in it though.
Maybe like once all like Preston finishes it, we can talk about it a
Garrett,
little bit.
Garrett's talked to me about it a few nights, and the stuff he's telling me, just how epic it is definitely
like enticing. The fight that Deku has in this season is just insane.
That's what I told him last night.
To like few heights.
I'm super pumped to watch it for sure.
Yeah, the show's just getting so good, and I can't wait to see where it goes. The season was a little more light on what's his name, Bakugo, and I don't remember what the Ice and Fire guy's name is, but those two guys don't really play a huge role in the season.
Oh crap! I know that guy's name. For me, it starts with a T, right?
I think so. Yeah,
Todoroki, maybe. Is it Todoroki?
Maybe.
I think it's Todoroki. Yeah, Todoroki. I got it. Shoto Todoroki.
Shoto.
Wow, dude. Watch My Hero much?
I guess not. It has been a little while. It's been about a month since I've finished it up.
Yeah. I'll watch like 3 episodes maybe of My Hero a week, and then I'll watch like 2 episodes of Sword Art Alicization, and then I forget everything I watched previously, so I'll have to like skim through the previous episode so I know like what the heck's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I just need to sit. I just need to commit to one, finish it, then move on to the next one. So
that's why I haven't finished Ozark yet, because I keep wanting to watch Hunter x Hunter, and I watch that instead, so I just never finish it.
So I definitely just need to finish My Hero, because nobody will talk to me about Sword Art, so I'll finish the one people I actually want to talk about.
If you recommend a Sword Art show to me, I'll give it a shot.
A what?
A Sword Art show.
I mean, it's, you just watch it, it's one show.
I thought there were like different iterations of it.
There was like one spinoff, but for the most part, it's just one show.
How many episodes are there? Is there like over 1,000?
No, there's there's probably like
a show that's been going for a while.
Yeah, I think the first 2 seasons, I think it's like 20, maybe like 25 episodes a season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too bad. I think you at least need to watch the first 15 episodes, because that's, even people that hate Sword Art at least admit that those are really good. And then crap hits the fan the rest of the season. Then it gets good. Then it gets good again. So
maybe when I finish Hunter x Hunter, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't like quit anything you're watching right now to watch it. But.
Yeah. All right, you guys ready for one more and we'll get out of here?
Yeah.
All right. Last one is coming from Big Colt in our Discord.
Big Colt.
This is going to be a fun one. He's listed 5 different menu items from Taco Bell. And the question reads, it's 12 o'clock at night. We've all been there. We've all been there at midnight. We all know the feeling. You're in the drive-thru of Taco Bell. You can only say, let me get to 3 of these items. What are you getting?
I'm
going to list the 9 items now.
I don't see anything. I don't see any items on what you sent me.
Maybe just go in the Discord.
Okay,
and open
it's
the
a picture.
Questions.
I got it.
Exactly. So the first one is Crunchwrap Supreme. Number 2 is Burrito Supreme. Number 3, Quesarito. Number 4, chili. Cheesy Bean and Rice Burrito.
Ah.
Number 4 is the Cinnamon Twist. Number 5 is the Cinnamon Twist. Number 6, Cheesy Gordita Crunch. Number 7, Chalupa Supreme. Number 8, Spicy Potato Soft Taco. And number 9, the Chicken Quesadilla.
This is the easiest answer I could ever give in my life.
All right, well, what is it then?
I don't even have to think about this. It's obviously, let me get a Chicken Quesadilla, Cheesy Gordita Crunch, and a Quesarito. Easy as that.
Amen, brother. Same.
The same, really.
Dude, okay. me and Garrett
don't get
are
wrong.
On
that Chalupa Supreme looks great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's 3 in
the rider.
Mine for sure.
My go-tos. That basically is my meal.
You're not going to go wrong with any of these 3 at all. You're still going to have a fantastic night. But, yeah, 9, 6, and 3, easy for me.
Yeah.
Actually,
I'm changing mine. I'm going all 5, baby. All cinnamon twists.
That's a good night, too. Even that.
Yep. No, it's not.
I like cinnamon
twists. It is. I can go to town.
If you put Cinnamon Delights there instead of the Twists.
Dude, all this Taco Bell talk's kind of making me want to go there instead of eating pizza.
I do
want
to go right now.
Dude, I'm going
what Preston's doing tonight.
I'm doing that tonight.
Yeah, lucky dog.
Oh, yeah.
I already had it twice this week, though, I think.
I would go with, let me get a chicken quesadilla, a cheesy gordita crunch, and a chalupa supreme. Because I love me chalupas. That's been my new thing lately when I go.
They're
nice. I'll get the chicken chalupas.
Dude, it's a travesty that they got rid of the Baja chicken chalupa. That was the best one, hands down.
Dude, Fiery Shell's back for those gorditas.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm so excited.
I freaked out in the drive-thru the other night when I noticed that.
You mean it? You got it?
Jacob, I mentioned this to Preston. This is kind of sad. I was in the Taco Bell drive-thru talking to him on the phone the other night. I was like, dude, do you realize there was a night when you, me, Jacob, Zach, Elliot, Evan, and whoever else was with us on all those Taco Bell runs we used to go on? Like, there was a night where we did that for the last time together and didn't even know it.
Yeah. Yep.
Isn't that heartbreaking?
Sad. It is. We had no idea.
Like, that was our thing, man. For years we would do that. And
that's what defined us.
Yeah, it was the last.
You could say that defined our lives.
Yeah, that and the QT run, we'd pop into Taco, or we'd go to QT and get our snacks, then we'd swing through Taco Bell and get our food.
Yeah, as if we didn't get enough garbage at QT.
I know.
To Taco Bell.
And then we'd go back to Zach's and just stay up all night playing video games. It was amazing.
That was our routine, man.
For every weekend, man.
Good times.
So good.
Well, guys.
There was no better way to end that episode than with that question.
We had a great taco talk at the end. That was built into a question. That's pretty cool.
Dude, big Colt's doing the Lord's work on our Discord.
Yes.
He's memeing it up like a pro, giving us good questions.
A fantastic memer.
Oh, yeah. He's like a 80% laugh rate with me with what he posts.
Yeah, usually anything him and, I always say his name wrong, but Fribes or Freebs, anything he posts is hilarious.
Yeah.
So good job, gentlemen.
One of the latest memes he posted was saying that In-N-Out fries taste awful. I must have awful taste in fries because I've had them quite a few times when I've been out of town, and I don't think they're like good, but like I eat them. I've never thought they were bad. So
I had Wendy's breakfast for the first time this morning.
Whoa. Was he good? What was that?
Dude, I felt so bad for this one guy. I was sitting in the McDonald's drive-thru, and I was wondering why there was a gigantic line at like 9 in the morning. And this guy came out, and he was like, hey, I'm literally the only employee that works here now.
No.
Yeah. He was like, I'm taking orders and doing and cooking all the food myself.
Holy crap.
What? Yeah, I was like, I couldn't believe it. I felt so bad for him. That's just poor management, dude, that your whole staff would quit on you. That's horrible management, however that happened. But then I went to Wendy's because Chick-fil-A was closed. Obviously, it was Sunday, but it was pretty good. I had a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit. It was extremely fresh with like their potato wedges. That's sort of like in place of other places' hash browns. It was delicious.
Dude, you should have got the breakfast baconator.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I've seen commercials.
I didn't notice it on the menu.
It's like a giant baconator with a fried egg on it.
Oh my goodness.
Too much.
Yeah, dude, the bacon and egg and the biscuit were incredibly fresh at Wendy's, which is no surprise because Wendy's quality is up there. But I enjoyed it.
Wow. Yeah, I'll have to try that at some point.
Yep.
Have you guys go to the meme section in our Discord and look at Big Colt's newest meme? $50, whatever you want, baby. Can you cut hair?
That's good.
Everyone join our Discord if you haven't already.
Oh, yeah.
Link down below. Down below somewhere, right, Gary?
Shit down below tastes like Yu-Gi-Oh cards. That's hilarious. Well, dude, boys. I want Five Guys. I haven't had Five Guys in forever.
I haven't either. It's been years since I've had it.
Same here.
We just need an excuse to go eat food.
Dude, I'm ready right now, so let's finish this up.
Let's do it. Any closing thoughts, gentlemen?
I don't think so. I'm just excited to graduate school and play some Persona.
Let's try and be more positive, people. Let's think a little more positive in life. Just about everything.
Indeed. Yeah. Do something kind for someone.
Yes.
Who doesn't even deserve it, man.
Amen, brother.
Let's spread positivity.
All right. You're taking it too far now.
That's enough. It's time to get carried away now. All right, boys. Well, let's get out of here. Thank you guys for joining me for the podcast. It was a little bit of a shorter one, but, you know, we're wrapping up our days, sort of settling down. I feel like this was a good one. Had some good discussion.
Good, straight to the
and
point.
A lot of good questions.
No fluff in this one.
Exactly. So, I hope I talk to you guys again really soon.
Oh, yeah.
I miss you both to bits.
I miss you, too.
Oh, thanks, Preston. That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah.
All love right, you, Garrett. Boys.
All right.
Garrett, Preston, take care. Love you both.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Till next time.
Bye, everybody.